Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Oh, my sister.
Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High Yah. Hallelujah, who is a jealous Yah, who deserves our fear and our reverence. Bless you all. In the sweet, victorious name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, my Savior, your Redeemer. He lives, He rules. Sister Ashley, welcome to another show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for believing in the Yah in me. And thank you for your love. Thank you for your offerings and your support to the Straightway Truth Ministry. It doesn't go unnoticed. Hallelujah. So I am live tonight with Mother Jennifer in Georgia. I'm in Tennessee. She's in Georgia. Mother Jennifer, give us a sound check.
Hallelujah. Shalom to you, all daughters of Zion. Blessings to you, Sister Ashley. Thank you so much for having me on tonight with you for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that everyone can hear me very well, and it's really good to have you back, Sister Ashley. So welcome back, and I think we're okay to move on. I see tens in the sound room.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much to Elder Rufus for just stepping in and doing such a great show. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, for your consistency. Tonight, I glorify the Father, which comes naturally and very easily for me. So endure my moment with Yah. But I thank you, Father, for teaching me who my enemies are. God, thank you for setting my feet in high places, though I'm surrounded by hate and jealousy. You also seal me with your love. You taught me how to pray, Father. Hallelujah. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to get answers. He taught me how to be really hungry for him and really thirsty for righteousness. And I thank him. All that is because of him. I see this path, my sisters, and how narrow it really is and how few are going to enter into life. And I mean very, very, very few. I see it very clearly, and I hope you do. I see a rebellious house, a dirty bride. Hallelujah. And our Creator, who holds thunder in his fist, is not being feared and reverenced the way that he should be. So I pray that you're longing to fear him as the days are quickly approaching an end. I always ask, my sisters always beg of Yah to spare me, that even though I am with the righteous and I'm on a land that is greatly protected, I do ask to be spared. And I pray that you're asking the same thing. To our beloved deacon, who you may know as Deacon Bell, who I know as the master of our house and the head over me, my husband. He's really easy to follow. He always has been. If you don't know anything about him, his conversation is always godly, and he doesn't desire the world at all. Not the world's things, items, music, even the world's women. He longs for unity for the brethren. And he always has an open door policy in his home to anyone to feel welcome and to be welcome to come and ask questions or, sit at his feet, be a friend, or honor him as a deacon. Our house is always open to the saints and to the righteous. Hallelujah. To our beloved Elder Rufus, who is a elder and leader over the ministry over Israel. He's been on my heart a lot this week. Like I said, very thankful for his words and his availability and how he's been able to share himself on the show. And last week was a very personal expression of his spirit. And I really appreciated some of the key points that he brought out, such as many of you who have befriended the leaders and the elders and the brethren, you've made them as common as you. And me being a deacon's wife and being seasoned with Yah, I understand the detriment that happens if you do that and how you can lose respect and dishonor so easily. Pastor's been mentioning the word honor a lot, and he's mentioning it so that we would strive to attain it. Hallelujah. I thank the Father for his gifts that are manifest in our shepherd. For our shepherd's ability to maintain godliness in all conversations in and outside of his home. I'm thankful for the meeting that's coming up, the Dry Bones Conference, for I know the Most High will be magnified. I'm thankful for the power that's expressed in our shepherd. I'm very, very thankful. And to each of the sisters, each of you who are staying on your knees, who are striving for righteousness, I thank you so much for loving our Creator. And just listening in tonight, thank you. Thank you for all you do behind the scenes. Hopefully that's many of you. Most of the time it's few of you. But I love you, Shepherd, and to each of our leaders, to our leaders' wives, abundant honor to your houses. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, your turn.
Hallelujah. First, I want to give glory and honor to the Most High Yah for being such a righteous Elohim. He is our lawmaker. He is our judge, and he is the one who actually fights for us. And that really means a lot to me. I know it just sounds like words to some, but it really means a lot to me, him being that in our lives. It is an honor to truly know who we are in him, to be identified by him, and to not have a world identify us at all. I'm so happy and honored that he has given us a standard to live by, that he has placed his law in our hearts, that he's given us his spirit to live by, that we don't have to live by this carnal world system, this carnal spirit. We can throw off all the carnality. The old woman can die, and we can truly live as righteous Hebrew women the way that we were created. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, and, Sister Ashley, you really hit the nail on the head. You know, Elder Rufus is one he loves greatly. He loves Israel greatly. And when you love to that capacity, there are times when you experience grief on great levels. And so I'm so happy to belong to him. It really fills my heart with joy to be able to learn from him and to really see his strength daily as he follows Yah, and him following Pastor, as Pastor follows Yah, and loving at all costs, no matter what. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd for his strength and for his love for the people of Yah, and always putting out information, no matter what, putting out so much information, so much wisdom, just allowing us to really grasp and get an understanding of who we are as a people, what our role is, especially during these times, what we should be doing. And he's been doing this for such a long time, almost three decades, and to really never get tired, to never get weary in well-doing. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow, and to your entire family. We love you all. And that's all I have.
Hallelujah. Any special announcements? You know, our feast is week by week approaching. Mother Jennifer, what say you?
Yes, I wanted to say that we do have Tabernacles coming up. If you have not contacted the dining hall to give them your dates, please do that. Please do so. There's a lot of planning that goes into play when it comes to planning for a feast. And remember that the dates that you're allowed to actually show up on the land do not show up before September 28th, and you're allowed to stay no longer than October 11th. Now, if your dates, if you want to come before that time or after that time, you're going to need special permission from Pastor, which would come through Elder Becker. But please stick to these dates. These dates were given to us as a guideline. So, you know, we need to follow that. Remember, it's September 28th through October 11th. And make sure that you look at the video on Straightway Help Meets on YouTube. It's called Be a Blessing List Tabernacles 2020. And that is on YouTube on Straightway Help Meets. You can find exactly what you can bring just to help out when planning for this feast. You know, you may be able to bring plates or napkins or garbage bags or whatever, you know, when you're hosting that many people. And how many people will we be having this year, Sister Ashley?
Pardon me, Mother Jennifer, as I stepped away. How many people will be where?
About how many people are we expecting this year for Tabernacles? I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. We are shooting for 800.
800, so.
Him capping it off, so.
Right. So 800 people, when you're planning to host 800 people, it takes a lot. It takes a whole lot. I mean, could you imagine having 80 people at your house? So Straightway is planning for 800 people, at least 800 people. So let's everybody please do our part to make sure that we don't leave Straightway in a depleted state, that we don't go and use up all their supplies and leave them with nothing. We want to actually go and be a blessing and bring what we can. They are always such gracious hosts, and it really is an honor for them to actually have us on the land there. And they show it, you know, every time we come, they're so hospitable. And so we just really want to show that great level of gratitude. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for all your announcements and always staying up on those things. August 22nd, Dry Bones conference in Texas, you can do one of two things. As I spoke to Shepherd this week, you can call into the dining hall. We're keeping a running list of those who are interested. He'll be giving more information in a few, when he gets to it. Let me put it like that. When he gets to it, he'll be giving more information, potentially by video. But you can also email drybonesawake@gmail.com. You want to at least be on record that you are coming. So please, August 22nd, let us know if you're able to attend the Dallas meeting. I don't know if they will put an end on it, if we're going to reach to a certain number that they may have to, depending on facilities. Often, you know, there is a capacity. So please get your name down if you know you're going. Don't wait till too late. Interestingly, I've noticed a pattern, Mother Jennifer. This is just for conversation here, but when Pastor travels to different locations, after he leaves, you get phone call after phone call of people coming in from that area that had no idea he just visited. It's really interesting. So they would call and say, you know, I'm right here in Florida. I had no idea. I just saw his video and I missed it, you know. And it's been that way for years. So Yah just does a miraculous work when our shepherd puts his feet down. You know, the word says, especially for our leaders and our teachers, our elders, for them to teach the wise and they'll be wiser. Okay, so when you're coming to this ministry, you are coming to be taught, and you're told that innumerable times, but specifically by Elder Rufus. He's really, you know, stern about that message, to come and be taught. So to teach the wise, they'll be wiser, and to inform the righteous, their learning will increase. So that process happened for me, and now I get to share my process with you. You know, I wouldn't suggest that any of you, as a young daughter of Zion or as a woman, I wouldn't suggest that any of you try to follow my nature and my character, because only listen to this show and you hear the manifestation of who I am on the show, who Jennifer is on the show, our dynamic of conversation. Don't pattern yourself after that manner of conversation, because you'll become harsh, stern, or even masculine. What you see us demonstrate in conversation is just a very realistic exposure of sin and an expression of our studies and our experience, and there's just no other way to deliver it to you. There's just no other way to say it. So when you're one-on-one and you're, you know, helping one another, serving and loving one another, there should be a meekness and a gentleness and a sternness about yourself. You should be very consistent in spirit. Help me out, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, we've learned, the Most High has taught us how to hate sin with a perfect hatred. And when you have that perfect hatred, there is a pureness of heart, you know, to really warn the daughters of Zion from that same thing that you know that you've recovered from, the thing that you've been through. The Father has really, if He's strengthened us in an area, then we're required to go and to strengthen you as well. And so we may speak very firmly against that sin. And it really takes some time for Him to teach us, you know, how to do that as women. So like she said, you know, don't try to use the dynamic that we use, because it takes a lot of learning from the Most High to actually get to that place. What really needs to be in your heart is for Him to give you a perfect hatred for the sin. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. The perfect hatred for the sin in you. You know, I challenge anyone or any young woman, anyone who's listening, let's just flip this scenario for a moment, and I want you to take this show, okay? This show, let's say it's up for grabs. And I want you to take the show, and I want you to reach hundreds of women, okay, which, you know, behind the scenes, you got to long for your Creator. You got to put Him first in all ways, before your children, before your master. You got to make an impact in women's lives. You got to change someone's course. You got to reach them when they're stubborn. You got to reach them when they have their own ideas. You got to steer them towards righteousness, because they walk in deception and they err in the way. Okay, so now you do it. What are you going to talk about? How are you going to start your first show? What are you going to say? You're going to fast continually without food, without water, just to say, I've done nothing, Father? You can't waver in your speech. You can't waver in your nature. You got to speak open and behind the scenes consistently. Got to be the same person without fear. Though some women will wait to gnash their teeth on you, whether you're accused falsely and hated because you know you're stirring up Satan's pot, you'll be despised and rejected. Okay? So just flip in this scenario for a moment just so you see your place. You're in a place to be taught. You're in a place to tune in and listen, and you're not in a place to accuse at all. If you're in a conversation where women are rising up against our show, shut their mouths. If you're in a conversation where someone is opposing our show, remind them of our shepherd's support towards it. Don't get yourself involved in conversations that are going to be a detriment to you, evilly affect you, negatively affect you. Walk away. If you don't have words to say, walk away. Don't think for a moment that I don't know that I'm hated. It's actually sad that I even have to talk about it openly. It's not, it's if Yah suffered, and he suffered greatly, my shepherd suffers greatly. This is just a little drop in the bucket that I can bear for his name. Blessed be his holy name. So I think that's enough on that. But just so y'all get in your place, okay, get in your place. Women, you talk too much. You talk entirely too much. One thing that you can learn as a woman to start practicing, literally you have to teach yourself how to speak. Because I've taught myself how to speak and to actually Yah himself, literally, through me seeking him and loving you enough to speak to you, has taught me how to speak, how not to flatter, right? How not to fear saying the truth. How to get to the point, right? How to slow down. Y'all heard me get going and speak fast. And I still may do it. But don't think for a moment my Yah is not in charge of me. He's sovereign of me. And I know that he's sovereign of you. You're very delicate. You're very precious. But you're rebellious too. So there's a process you have to go through to develop hearing. And one thing you can do, you know, I've been accused of flattery because of my ability to speak. I've been accused of lying or being able to twist words because of my ability to speak. And some of you may long to speak better or you long to be heard by an audience. You know, want to make a friend, have a companion, have a buddy, get on the in crowd, be a socialite, bow to titles. That's not me at all. That's not me at all. I would sit in the back row, never be seen. I'd hide under a rug and never be heard. That's me. But when it's time to do the Father's will, I will not let anything stop me. All right? So, in our conversations with one another, if you really want to learn how to speak, you start with your conversations. Okay? I don't mean when you're having a great time, when you're being in a social environment and everybody, you know, don't get religious on me, my sisters. But if you want to learn how to speak, for example, you send a video to somebody, to a counselor, and you're asking a question to them, get to the point. Get to the point. Even if you got to write down your points before you even make your video, get to the point. It'd be like calling Elder Becker. He has hundreds of phone calls. And because everyone has such an American mind, or even our shepherd, you can hear it on his blog talk. You're not getting to the point. You're not considering the listener. The listener is not entertained. The listener is enduring you. You understand? And when you consider in all points, in all ways, you consider someone else as yourself. So you call Elder Becker, you're going to ask him a question about rejection. Elder Becker, I have a question about rejection. That's it. Not, Elder Becker, you know, I got this going on. I think it might be rejection. I'm not speaking on behalf of Elder Becker, by the way. I'm just using his name. So we have not conversated, my sisters. Don't look too much into my speech. So, you know, Sister Ashley, I got a question. It's about rejection, I think. This is what happened to me when I was 3, then by the time I was 5, and, you know, now I'm 41, and this was happening, and this is going on, and this, maybe those are very powerful points that you need to say. But are you paying attention to the wasted time that you have in between your powerful points? Consider another person's time, my sister. Consider your husband's ear. He's been listening to you for years. You know, consider someone else. Humble yourself. Withdraw your speech. You know, Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, you brought up a very good point. I find that, as you know, that we tend to over-explain when dealing with a counselor. You go to a counselor, you tend to over-explain yourself because you're so interested in defending yourself, or you're so interested in getting the point across that you already, the conclusion that you've already come to. And so you get to this place where you over-explain so that you can avoid a particular judgment. So it's like you go into a situation to explain but not to be set free. You go into it to explain it so that you can get the outcome that you desire. And I thought it was really good that you said jot down some notes, you know, before you enter into that conversation. Jot down 3 main points or however many, but, you know, keep it really brief. And then you let your counselor ask the questions that are needed to be asked. You know, you mentioned Elder Becker. Elder Becker is very wise. He's going to know the proper questions that need to be asked. So you don't have to tell your whole life story in order for him to be able to discern what truly is going on. So I think it's very wise, Sister Ashley, information that you've given. Jot down a few points and don't try to escape judgment, because that is why you're coming to a particular counselor, so that you can actually get the help that you need. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. It's definitely something that I taught myself, or, you know, with the help of staying on my knees and seeking the Father about how to speak. You know, it's not a false humility. It's not get quiet and never talk again. It's not allow self-accusation to say she's talking about me. You know, that shows our immaturity. Right? It's not about, well, you know, now should I send her a video again? Maybe I shouldn't, you know, whoever my counselor is, right, or whoever my friend is, maybe I shouldn't talk to them again. Just take this information and apply it. I had to teach myself how to speak. So I know the process. I had to teach myself silence. I know the process. Okay? So teach yourself. Here's a verse. I got the Common English Version, Proverbs 8:4. It's talking about wisdom. Remember, she's a spirit. Verse 1 says, doesn't wisdom cry out and understanding shout? Okay? Remember, we're a spiritual people. We understand that wisdom is crying out. She exists. She's around. You have to seek her. Verse 4 says, I cry out to you people. My voice goes out to all of humanity. Understand skill, you who are naive. Take this to heart, you fools. Listen, for I speak things that are correct. From my lips comes what is right. My mouth utters the truth. My lips despise wickedness. All the words of my mouth are righteous. Nothing in them is twisted or crooked. All of them are straightforward to those who understand and upright for the knowledgeable. Hallelujah. So that gives you a little insight on how wisdom speaks and how she sounds. And that's what you're really striving to. It doesn't mean that there's not liberty, you know, and laughter and joy and conversation. You know, everything's not spiritual. But at the same time, as we separate ourselves from evil, we separate ourselves from the hindrances that we have in our lives, our mother, father, uncle, you know, sister, whoever those people are that are pulling you down and weighing you down, as you separate, as you come out of her, as you change, you have to change your mouth. You have to change, you know, what you would call your skill or your gift of gab. You have never considered the other person. You know, most of you don't have the art of listening or hearing, but you consider yourself to speak, to have the art of talking and conversating. So we have an imbalance, you know. Discern each conversation. When you're in a conversation, are you the one that needs to be speaking? Are you the one that needs to be listening? If the table turns and you are the one asking the questions, now maybe you're the one giving answers. Pay attention to conversation dynamics. You can teach yourself these skills. You can observe the spirit and nature of the environment, the atmosphere. You can mature yourself in the presence of your friends. Hallelujah. So I hope that helps y'all. I wanted to actually just call out the spirit of flattery. If it's something that you haven't considered before, please consider it now. It does function in the women of Israel, Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, Sister Ashley, one last point on communication. I know I've learned a lot from Elder Rufus. You know, he teaches, he's taught me from the very beginning, if a question is asked, you need to answer that question. And I find that a lot of times as women, we will be asked a question and we will never answer it. We'll go around the whole story without even answering the question. And this is why it's really good to have a keen listener, someone who is very discerning in listening. And they can bring you back and say you never answered the question. And so when you communicate further, as you go on, you will learn how to answer questions. It's either yes or no. You don't have to explain yourself. And again, we tend to over-explain. And going back to flattery, you know, we are used to being flattered based on what we've been taught by the American society. You know, if you are rooted in insecurity or rejection, you will want to be flattered, and you are going to be flattering in your speech. And so you really have to be careful of that, because you're going to put out something that is flattering in speech in order to get that same thing back. So you have to really discern what spirits are truly working here. Am I saying words that I really mean, or am I flattering just so I can get the same flattering speech back in return? Sister Ashley?
Over-talkativeness can be rooted in accusations of self, or how the person that you're with is going to be hearing you or taking you, so you feel like you need to over-explain so that they don't understand you that way, or so that they don't accuse you. You know, so when you're defending yourself, it's a defense mechanism inside of you where you feel like you need to say things a certain way so that they don't hear it in a way that you think they're hearing it, when they could or couldn't be hearing it that way. When you start to understand, as someone who is talking or listening, when you're in a conversation, that you have absolutely no control how the person receives, you have no control how they're listening, how they're accusing. It doesn't matter. You have no control over that. You'll become a more free in your speech. Hallelujah. So I wanted to go over to, I really don't have a lot of things on my heart. I'll open up the phone lines for a moment, or for as long as we can. Guest call in is 310-982-4226. If you don't call in, we probably won't be in long. Press one if you want to speak to us. Let's go to Proverbs 6, Mother Jennifer. I'm going to read out of the Common English, and I know I'm going to have you read 6:24. But let me go to my thoughts here. Let me find it. I'm going to verse 23. This was wise advice that was given to a son. All right, so this proverb was given to a man, a young man, my son, it says, basically when you, why you keep your father's commandments, you know, why you tie your mother's law around your neck. So verse 20, my son, keep your father's command. Don't abandon your mother's instruction. Okay, so this proverb is talking to a young man. Bind them on your heart at all times. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk around, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will protect you. So stop for a moment, daughters. When you walk around, what's going to lead you? Your father's commands, your mother's instruction. When you lie down, what's going to protect you? Your father's commands, your mother's instruction. That's a huge responsibility on the father and mother of a child. Because you are to be giving them instruction, that is to give them life and to chart their course, things that they can take to heart, instruction that they can apply when reality hits, when they face life, as we all have faced it. Pause for just a moment as I'm steered a different direction, okay? Hold right there for the instruction that's given to a son. I want to share with y'all, if I can even use the word teach, I want to teach each of you, being a woman, how you should behave yourself when a woman comes into your home or to your fellowship and doesn't have a father for her children. You should be everything those children need you to be as an auntie. You should lift her up. You should pray for her if she needs you, if she allows you to be an auntie to her children. It's all based upon what the woman needs. But those children who don't have a father need all the love that they can get. No, you can't be a father. But the father never overlooks the fatherless. They're very precious to him. So if you see yourself overlooking them, being critical or judgmental, skeptical, demanding, you know, when a home is out of order and you see the children that are reaping it, the very innocent, and I know there is this strong opinion that says, well, the mother needs to be this, this, and this. She, you know, I knew better. I was a single mom. This is what I did. So you see the haughtiness in that response? This child still needs us as a tribe. And so I just want to initiate your love, ignite your love inside of you, the Father's presence inside of you to be what that child needs you to be. Mother Jennifer?
And it's all about really having compassion and putting yourself in that sister's position, you know, and really understanding and really putting yourself in that child's position as well and being child and taking off that selfishness. You know, it's not about us at all. And as women, we are here to actually serve. We are here to serve. We are here to serve our sisters. We are here to serve our brothers. We're definitely here to serve our masters. But we're here to serve the children as well so that we can be examples for them. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Brandy Monica, who are you? Who are you, my sister? I see your name on here. I see your inconsistencies in listening. I see your chats. Pardon me that I don't know who you are. Have you ever called in? We are a family here, and I desire to know more about you. All right, so we have two phone calls. Let's go there. We're going to hold tight on Proverbs 6. Let's go to Pennsylvania, a number we don't see often. Area code 724, Pennsylvania, you're live.
Hello. Hello, Sister Ashley. Hi. I just wanted to tell you something. I spoke to you in a dining hall. It is a couple weeks back, Sister Ashley. And, you know, I've always been emotional, and you gave me something to go and get on my knees and repent for everything that I ever did. I did it. Things didn't turn around the way I wanted it to. I actually lost everything. And you know what? It brought me to a place where I was on my knees, and I'm slowly building it back up. I just want to thank you. This ministry is just wonderful. You guys have guided me. You've shown me how to be a woman. I never was a woman. I was loud. I was emotional. I cried on a drop of the hat. I ended up talking to my master after he, like, pretty much was done with me, and he gave me a direction. I followed it, and my spirit has totally changed since then. And I just wanted to say thank you for all the help that you've given us, sisters.
Hallelujah. Thank you for listening and applying. Hallelujah. May Yah continue to give you favor. Keep repenting, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your call. Hallelujah. Pennsylvania. All right. Got a phone call from Georgia. Mother Jennifer, another Georgiite. Area code 770, Georgia.
Shalom and bless you, Mother. Bless you, Sister Ashley. This is Sister Jasmine.
Shalom, Sister Jasmine.
Shalom. Bless y'all. I just wanted to call in. I always said that I would, and I just could not get up the courage to do so, and now I have it, and I just wanted to call in and just thank y'all and what you're talking about right now when it comes to listening during conversation instead of always speaking. It really hit home for me.
Hallelujah. I love hearing your voice. Thank you for coming onto our group and sharing the scriptures that you read. Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. You're welcome.
Praise Yah. Bless your sister for me.
Oh, will do, will do. Bless y'all.
Bless you. Shalom.
Glory. All right, we're going to Tennessee. Area code 901, Tennessee. You're live.
Shalom, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Am I coming through well?
You are. Take a moment and say what's on your heart, young daughter. Shalom.
All right. First, I want to say all praises to Most High Yah. And this is Sister Tania, just calling back. And I do have a question, if you don't mind.
Please, I hope to answer it for you or Mother. Go ahead.
Lately, I just want to figure out how to overcome sensitivity, I guess.
Sensitivity?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so I'll let you go, but if I may ask you, sensitivity meaning taking things personal and being offended easily by words?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for asking. We'll talk now. I'm going to hang up, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Mother Jennifer. You deal with accusations. That's what you deal with. So when you deal with accusations, specifically because you've torn yourself down for so long, you automatically believe everyone's thinking about you, talking at you. And so you're sensitive to others' speech because it just fits hand in hand with how you're already thinking about yourself. So when you hear someone, it's an automatic, it's talking about me. You just take it in for yourself, self, self. So you actually have to build yourself up. Jennifer, tell her how to do that.
You know, you build yourself up first and foremost in prayer. You have to have a personal relationship with the Father. And once you do that, you learn who you are in Him, who He created you to be. That intimate personal time, He's going to shape you and mold you. And all the sensitivities, the insecurities, the accusations, those things don't affect you the way that they used to. You have to get to a point where if someone is telling you something, you stop and you really listen to what they're saying. And you ask yourself, what are the facts? You know, what are the facts that I'm actually dealing with? You take away all the emotion out of it. You take away the anxiety. You take away the stress. You take away all the panic that you might feel in your body. And you say, what are the facts? You know, okay, this person said that I failed to do this. Is this the truth? Yes or no? If it's the truth, then you actually get to the point of repentance. You know, you you change your ways so that you don't fall into that again, if that makes sense. But you only deal with the facts and you leave the emotion out of it, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Jude 1:20. But you, dear friends, build each other up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Mother Jennifer said that. She stated that. You do it by prayer. All right, I'm going to read it again. You, dear friends, build each other up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep each other in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will give you eternal life. So I bet if I said to you, make me a list of everything that you're working on, everything that's wrong with you, the things you want to change, and it would just be endless probably, right? You could just do it for days. You might add on it. You know, tomorrow something else would come to your mind. On Shabbat when you hear the message, something else is going to come to your mind, and your list is just going to go on and on about the things you're working on. But if I say, give me a list of what you're thankful for, you're blank. I'm thankful for my car. I got a car. I'm thankful that the Father brought me to... All right, so we got a problem. We got an imbalance here. You got a sensitivity list, right? But you don't have a heart of thanksgiving. Man, I'm thankful for everything. Everything. I could do a show after show after show. If I didn't have any ideas on what to talk about, I could just get on here and just... I wouldn't waste your time, but I could just be thankful for everything, right? And so that becomes your nature. Self-accusation's torn you down. Negativity's torn you down. Your sin's torn you down. Your iniquity, you're weighted down with that. You're not perfect. You're reminded of it. You got demons. You need deliverance. So be thankful. Thank you for the way, the truth, the life. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for being my Savior and my Redeemer. Thank you for washing away my sins, loving me beyond my faults. Thank you for my friends and these sisters. Thank you. But I'm not just saying it, uttering it from my lips. Most people go to the grave with vain words, vain speech, and bust hell wide open. I'm saying it, meaning it. I'm saying it, standing for something. I'm saying it, living it. When others complain, I won't. When others murmur, I'm not. You know, that's the commitment you have. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. It's hot outside. Thank you, Father, for the roof. I mean, be thankful for every scenario that it may challenge you, that you may be strengthened. Hallelujah. So, anything else to add, Mother Jennifer?
I want to say, you know, Sister Ashley, a while ago we did a show on depression, and I believe it was over a year ago, but we talked about the root of depression being selfishness. And you wouldn't think that that was really the root. And so what you're getting to, you know, you're talking about sensitivity and really being thankful. You know, when you think about Yah, in the natural mind, it may not make sense to you. But when you really look at it spiritually, it makes perfect sense. He is going to make you get out of yourself, you know, and to really focus your attention and your energy where it needs to be. So there should always be thankfulness and gratitude in our hearts. And I'm thankful that, you know, we have women here in Georgia and we correct each other's speech all the time. You know, if someone says something that sounds like it's about to be negative, then immediately they are corrected. And so I love that kind of love here, where sisters will love each other enough to correct speech, because we don't want to walk around with oppressive speech. You know, we want to walk around with grateful hearts, and that's exactly the way that it should be, to take the focus off of us, to get out of the selfishness and put the focus back on Him where it belongs. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I learned something interesting about the human spirit, my own as well as collectively, that I'll share with you. Thanksgiving is not based on anyone else's response to what is happening. If I'm thankful in this moment, right now, for what's going on with me or in me or around me, then I don't have to be met with that measure of thanksgiving from someone else. Like, you don't have to be a producer of Thanksgiving for me to produce it. And I think because we are dependent creatures, women will often wait on a woman or many women to be thankful. You know, when they do it, I'll do it. Or when she does it, I'll do it. And that's just not how it's supposed to go. You stand. You be thankful, my sisters. Hallelujah. So if it's pastor's place to stand up and say, hey, you burnt the bread. What the hell is this? But I'm thankful for the bread. That's my place. You get it? So you don't jump into the criticism. Let him handle it. It shouldn't have been burned, right? It should not have been burned. It should not have been served that way. What's wrong with your spirit that you're doing this to the saints? Why is it salty? Why is it messed up, right? Let him handle his position and his place. But I'm thankful for the food. I'm thankful for the meal. And by him being in his place and correcting it or saying something, he's not manifesting a lack of thanksgiving. Even the more so is he thankful, declaring the high standard. So let that concretely minister to you in your home where you're at. You know, don't wait on, I can't wait for my children to be thankful. They're selfish by nature, right? So I have to be thankful for them, on behalf of them, thankful for my new home. And I'm going to teach you how to be thankful for it, teach you how to treat it. You understand? Hallelujah. Good question. I appreciate your vulnerability and your call. All right, we're going to New York. New York, area code 929, New York. You're live. Shalom. Shalom. Hold on. All right. I muted you for just a moment, okay? It's a little bit tunnel going on. I don't know if you're walking outside or maybe getting to a better place. I'm going to take one call right before I go back to you, okay? So if you have a bad service area and you want to call back in, I'll pull you right back up after this next call. If you're confident in where you're at, then I'll pull you back up, okay? So I had to interject that before we wasted too much time on your call. Okay, we're going to West Virginia, Sister Angela. West Virginia, Sister Angela. Here it goes. You're live.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Ashley. Shalom, Jennifer. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. You have some background noise that's noisy, but we hear your voice.
Okay. Is it better?
That's better. You're coming in clear. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, bless you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to, I've been listening, so I'm just going to get to the point and ask a question, if I may. I've been pondering this for a little bit because I need deliverance. And I'm first of all, I'm thankful that the Most High, he's not left me alone. You know, back in the previous times when I've called, I've been, you know, I guess in myself, in my selfishness, in my, I guess, saying that I don't have anyone, I'm by myself, but I'm getting past that, and I realize that the Most High is here. He's always with me. So my question is, can someone do deliverance on themselves? And in addition to that, what kind of experience or training is needed? And is there any scriptural reference to such? And I have one more question, if I can add to that. What is the meaning of this kind? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Pardon me for interrupting you. I wrote that down so we can answer it after your next question. Go ahead.
Okay. So in the scripture in Matthew 17:21, when Jesus is talking to his disciples and they couldn't cast the spirit out, and he made a statement. He said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So what does it mean by this kind? And because I don't know what I need deliverance from, but recently I've been going back listening to Pastor's series on Leviathan, and I think that's the spirit I need to go after, but I don't know how to do it on myself. So if you can help me with that, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bless you all. Bless Pastor and his whole household. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your question. Let's go with the second question first, Matthew 17:21. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. When you look behind the word kind, another word is actually offspring or born or nation, which may gender in this particular circumstance to a something you're born with. Whether you are or not, it's still the Messiah speaking the truth. So you would have a lot of questions right now because you haven't had deliverance. And this is a really good question, openly, Mother Jennifer, because we can now change it to the entire dynamics of everyone listening. So you come into the faith and the deliverance aspect of the faith, and you're going to be hit with a lot of questions in your mind, not just pertaining to this verse, but many deliverance questions. You can tell she wants deliverance, that she needs deliverance and doesn't have any experience, hasn't had anyone cast out spirits from her, and she is asking to be trained. Training someone, if you want to use the word training, in our pattern of ministry is face-to-face, hand-to-hand, because we must prove all, and I can say women, we must prove, each one of you must be proven. I can't just, and I know your faithfulness to listening, by the way, and your faithfulness to your commitment to the ministry and how you follow us, so I definitely don't just make these statements for you, but just in general. If someone's wanting deliverance and they've never been able to travel here, then it's a pretty scary experience. If you were here amongst us, you witnessed it, you sat under some counsel and experienced it, you experienced helping someone, then we're going to chart your course accordingly. But for us to just give you self-deliverance tips when you have not experienced it is entirely too dangerous. Mother Jennifer?
Absolutely. Sister Ashley, you know, it's very important to take the experience that Straightway has, you know, the experience that they have operated in for many, many years. It's very important to take that personal experience and to learn personally, like you said, side by side, face to face, to really get a hands-on approach. It's difficult to train someone without being able to see them, because you can't properly teach them what a manifestation might feel like, what it might look like. There's so much that is needed to be taught. There's so much that's needed to be learned, and so much that you have to learn how to discern. And you do that by being able to personally watch somebody, by really getting to know someone. And that is very, very important. I remember Pastor Dow playing the clip. I think it was Ruler of the Universe, and he said desperate people get deliverance. You know, and there was a couple that flew from New York all the way down to Lafayette, Tennessee, to get the deliverance that they needed. And I'm not sure of everybody's personal situation or their ability to actually get to Straightway or to get to a home fellowship, but if you contact, you know, make contact with Straightway, then you can find someone who may be near you, who can, who is already trained in deliverance, who can get you the help that you actually need. I will say this, I will say that after experiencing the personal training from Straightway for years and getting the deliverance that I needed and learning how to help other sisters, because of the deliverance that I've received, I have gotten to a place where the Father is able to, you know, I've been able to get deliverance just from even through praise and worship. You know, during praise and worship on Shabbat, I've been able to get deliverance. I wasn't sitting in a chair. Nobody was saying, come out in the name of Jesus. It was just time for a spirit to come out, and I was able to get the deliverance that I needed. It doesn't always happen that way, though. So it's I can't say that you can't get deliverance on your own, but we don't recommend that you you know, that you go that direction, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
It does make sense, because we know who the deliverer is, and we're not binding him from anything that he freely gives. If he wants to deliver you, you can get off the show tonight, hit your knees and start snotting, crying, weeping, manifesting, we would call it, as things exit your body. So it's subject to him teaching you But at the same time, we don't just cast out our pearls and the teaching techniques in an open setting, or even on the show. We don't speak of that because it would be taken wrongly, applied wrongly, and we would be blamed. Nor do we fear that either. But it's a very powerful thing, and it's to be shared with our family. So that's how we do it. But have you ever fasted? You need to. You know, pray often, often, making no excuse. You know, in the statement that the Messiah made, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting, it is at least stating that it's not always the person casting a demon out that's required to have the faith. Right? You can have two powerful deliverance workers casting something out of you, and yet you still have the legal grounds of the ancestral sin that you have not repented for, or just your own sin that you have not confessed. Take the word, that the powerful messages that pastor's coming. Listen to them over and over about approaching our Father, going to Him as a judge, going to the courtroom when you pray, going and saying, Father, I bring my sins before you. They're ever before you anyway. And I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I plead this demon right now. I cleanse myself with the blood of Jesus, and I see this about me. I don't want it. I don't like it. I come to you as my judge, knowing that Satan accuses me night and day. Remove legal ground and legal right that the enemy has to operate in my life. Remove it, because I see it. I sense it. I feel it. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stay diligent. You know, make your confessions. Talk to him that way. Don't fear Satan's accusations. The only thing Satan is accusing each of you of before the Father is what he's already accusing you of on earth, which is the things that you hear about yourself in your mind and the things that others verbally say outwardly towards you. He's not so subtle that he can't be figured out. So his accusations that you hear about your own self, that's what he's saying. Take that before the Father. How can we get legal? How can we remove legal grounds against our own enemy if we believe the lies that he's placing inside of us about ourselves, that we are worthless and we'll never do this and we'll never make it and we always fail? That's his speech. So I bring his speech before you, Father, as my judge. I've heard it. I've believed it. I've listened to it, and I want to be free from it. So you take your accusations, you take your sins, you take your cigarette smoking, and you stop it. You stop your sin according to the flesh, your overeating, your emotional eating, being driven to eat to try to cover up your pain. You take it all. It takes some mighty willpower to serve the Most High. That's why the word is few, three-letter word, few. Because the mouth can utter anything. The mouth can say, why you know, the mouth can say, you're my Lord, 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 heal me, Lord. But what does the Messiah say? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? What does Lord mean in that instance? Supreme judge, the one in authority, the controller. Lord is also in the reference as a respectful title. So why are you coming to your supreme authority saying, Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I say? Why you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Ezekiel said, I speak to a rebellious house. Yah says, don't fear their looks. They are a rebellious house. So how do we appropriately apply that concretely, Luke 6:46, how do we concretely apply that? Why call me Lord if your outward adornment is like the world's? Why call me Lord if you hate your sister? Why call me Lord if you defile yourselves with unclean meat? Why call me Lord and you don't seek me? You don't search me out. You don't do what I say. Why call me Lord and you're a respecter of persons? You're friendly to her and not to her. You're sassy to her. And behind the scenes, you're doing this. Why call me Lord and seek a physician? I'm your healer. You know, why are we calling him Lord, Lord? Lord, we call you Lord when we want to be delivered, but we don't call you Lord when we got to obey. See? So there's a lot of dynamics to deliverance. It's very powerful, and it can and will happen in your life. So in your situation, there's a lot of situations throughout the years. Remember, this ministry is over 20 years in running. Hundreds upon even thousands of people have said, I need deliverance and I can't get to you. And we can't allow our emotions to pull us out to somebody who's not pulling into us. Right? Take the nuggets you hear. Take the nuggets you hear from the preaching and from our show and build your arsenal against the enemy. Let Yah teach you how to be delivered right where you are if you're not able to get here. In your faithfulness, you can be made whole. Hallelujah. We're going to New York City. Let's try 929 again. New York City, I'm calling you up. 929, I hope it's a clear signal this time. 929, you're live.
Hello, can you hear me?
Very well. Thank you so much for waiting. Shalom, who are we speaking to?
Hallelujah. This is Sister Yolanda from New York.
Yolanda, bless you. Welcome to the show. What's your thoughts?
Bless you. I wanted to call in to thank you for this sister-to-sister on flattery and also my speech because I'm one who over-explained myself a lot, and I will definitely take your counsel and seek the Father to ask him to teach me how to speak.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am, that's where you start. That's a good, humble heart. You're going to fall, make mistakes, and even Gerlanda or anyone listening, when you have a friend, when you really have a sister or a friend, that's someone that you can just really let it all hang out with. You know, there's no limitations or boundaries when you're, you know, being with a friend and you're having fun and laughter and you're talking about, hopefully, Jesus. Right? There's no limitations, but just knowing your place in conversation will really mature you as a woman. So thank you for hearing. Bless you.
Oh, man, bless you.
All right. That's a good, humble call. And you know how it goes, my sisters. You call, or even if you don't call, but you put yourself out to the Father and you say, I'm going to do this, then he's going to hold you to it. And that's what I love about our Father. If I say I'm going to do something, hold me to it, Father. I love his law. Make me live up to the way that I speak. Demanded of me. Hallelujah. I'm going to New York again. Area code 585. You are live with Mother Jennifer and myself, Ashley. New York, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Who are we speaking to?
This is Sister Megan from Rochester, New York.
Hi, Megan. Thank you for calling in. What you got? What's on your heart?
Well, first, I want to thank you guys for the last three sisters and elder. They definitely have hit my spirit, definitely. And I'm going to take heed to everything you guys have spoken about tonight and ask Yah to forgive me for basically my sins that I have done that I didn't even know until you guys were talking about, and basically repent for it and definitely change my ways. And I also have a question. I would like to know how to go about being in the new sister group. I was told by another sister that you would have to speak in tongues, and I haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. So I was just wondering how to go about that, and that's pretty much all I had.
Hallelujah. All right. I'll tell a little story when I hang up on you. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for asking your question and for listening.
Not a problem. Thank you guys so much. Bless you.
All right. Shalom. All right. So we had a group called Straightway Sisters on Marco Polo. How many members were on that group, Mother Jennifer?
I believe we had gotten up to, at one point, we had 199 sisters.
All right. 199 sisters. Mother Jennifer, if you had a few words to label that conversation that we had on that group, what would you label that past group that we had? It had gotten what?
You know, it had gotten carnal, Sister Ashley. When it originally started out, it was, you know, it was edifying, it was uplifting, and then the group had turned carnal.
All right, Sister Sakina, come here. Sister Sakina, were you on the group called Straightway Sisters?
Yes, ma'am.
She says, yes, ma'am. All right, in a few words, what had that group gotten to you?
Religious.
Religious. All right, thank you. Sister Tammy, were you on the old group?
I was the old
point. Okay, I know y'all can't hear, but give me a moment for my conversation with Tammy. Tammy, did you run to that group to listen to what was shared?
When I was still trapped, yes, because I didn't know a lot about, like, how you all were.
So when you were out there, it was very important to you, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so now that we have a new group, what's the difference?
It is a lot more, I see that more mature.
She says it's a lot more mature. Thank you, Tammy. Anything else? No? All right, she's listening. All right, so what happened is we have a group called Straightway Sisters, as Mother Jennifer said. We had close to 200 people, and it had become exactly what they said. You can imagine getting almost 200 women together, right? So I ended the group, and I started a group that's called Holy. Your requirements for the Holy group is to be in fellowship. You must be in fellowship. And, yes, you need the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Outside the country, we have Adele, we have Aya, we have Terry, we have Hannah in Kenya. Outside the country, you're welcome because you need that righteousness. The purpose of ending the old one and starting a new one was to make an impact on the carnality of the old group, to bring about some conviction of the title Straightway that doesn't need to be loosely used on any group of women that just gathered themselves together, and then to actually spark righteous conversation and to actually represent the Father with our new title, Holy. And it's a great group. We're going to get a lot of people that's going to want to be added. And the answer is no. The way that we work ourselves, like, this is the problem. This is what I've shared on the group already. There's a lot of detriments to playing collegiate sports. As I played as a woman, it's not something that I would ever suggest someone to do. It's not ladylike, et cetera. But one very positive thing that I learned mentally and apply spiritually from playing sports is that there is failure and that there is goals that you strive to attain. If you don't have something, Megan, sitting in front of you that you have to strive to get to, then you're going to just freely get in and think that you're okay. So the motive behind the new group is to make each of you try to aspire to be better, aspire to receive the Holy Spirit, aspire to be a part of the very elect women, which is much less and much fewer in number. I really don't have enough time on my hands to monitor the group or regulate it. So I pay to a righteous sister named Hadassah and even Sister Chrissy in Florida who regulate the group, only allowing in whoever the community head women allow in. If you don't submit to the community head's wife, then you don't get in. And if you don't want in, then don't get in. If you don't like the way we do it, then don't get in. If you got a problem with it, stick to your own friends. You know, we're up against a really rebellious, stiff-necked, natured woman inside of many of you. And your soft voice and your skirt cannot fool any of us anymore. Flattery got us where we are. Witchcraft got us where we are. And we have to deny that. We have to see righteousness. We have to hear it. We have to put it before our face. Today's conversation was, why are you still in the city? Post a video letting us know. Why are you in the video? Why are you still in the city? It was great, great videos. The challenge one time was, hey, speak in tongues today more than you ever have. Pray today more than you ever have. So are you missing out? Absolutely. I wouldn't want to put something before you that you could easily attain. So as you receive the Holy Spirit, as you long for Him, as you stay on your knees, as you change, as you listen to our show, it's a goal you can attain, absolutely. but we're very serious-minded. We're very obedient, and we're being drugged down by repetitious, foolish speech. Proverbs 9 says, a woman's folly is noisy. 9:13, she's stupid and doesn't even know it. She's stupid and she doesn't even know it. When you live set apart like we do, stupid just don't look good. And it really does stand out. And foolishness is noisy. And clamorous, loudness, it's just ugly. And it doesn't matter how much it appeals to you. It really doesn't. We live day after day, year after year, around women that believe the same, that submit and surrender ourselves to one-mindedness. So we're just not going to be drugged down or be misrepresented. We're just not. Mother Jennifer?
And, you know, Sister Ashley, one of the points that you brought up was that there were a lot of women who were carrying the Straightway name who no one knew. You know, they would put themselves out there that they were with Straightway, but no one knew. They had never made themselves known. And so we were being misrepresented through them. And that's not the type of thing that we wanted to happen. And so we, you know, had to remain close-knit. And this is why everything went to the women of the community heads in each section, so that we could have an account of who each sister is, who each woman is. Do you know this sister? Does she fellowship? So that we can really get a grip on the identity of the people who are taking on the name of Yah. Sister Ashley?
Hey, I got a good report. I won't share her name, but since I've done that group, I've been hit up by many, many, many sisters in the background saying thank you. One in particular, if y'all saw her video this week, she literally, when she was taken from the old group, she hit her knees and stayed on her face because she couldn't believe her opportunity to be around righteous women was taken away from her. And she became added through her desire, et cetera. Have another example. We started a conversation on the Holy Spirit. Why is it important? You know, you're being unfair, Ashley, that you know, what about the people who want the Holy Spirit and they don't have it or they don't know, right? And so what happened is when I made that requirement and made those changes, one woman didn't make it on because she didn't have the Holy Spirit. Been listening for years, following for years, didn't have the Holy Spirit. So when she got cut from the group, she sought him. She just texted me today, she got it. Wouldn't you rather be cut from some foolishness? Talked to about how serious the time is? Told you're not lining up, you're not measuring up, you're not taking heed? So you hit your face so he can seal you and give you what you long for? So that's all it is, Sister Megan. Just something to provoke you to righteousness. There's a purpose behind it. I'm looking for a verse in 1 Peter. I think we'll go to verse 13. 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy is not spiritual. Holy is not religious. Holy is not carnal. There's a time and place for everything. Matter of fact, when we ended that group and I said, you know, start your own groups. You know, start your own groups where you can share. Chef, are you on the food group? The prep, is there a prepping group? Okay, there's an awesome prepping group. That's great. That's great because we will keep the prepping stuff off the holy group. And if you want to hear prepping things, you go submit yourself to Sonia Crago. She knows a lot. And Sister who? Oh, there's an exercise group. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of groups. And they don't have those stipulations. We have women that are, we're wanting to be, we're wanting to learn each other, to build bonds, and to trust one another. And when you throw 200 women together with a Straightway title, hoping that we all be trusted, like Brandy Monica, I don't know you. year after year, you've been in the chat room, you don't have your picture up here, I don't remember you calling in, you post things. I've used the shotgun method or the method before that just kind of, you know, how do I not know you? I said that to you. You didn't catch it, so now I got to call you by name. All throughout the, literally for years, why, who are you? Why are you not here? Why am I not meeting you face to face? Why are you not crying out for sisters? I have sisters across the country that would swim backwards if they could to try to get to fellowship. But you know Israel, right here in their own homeland, making no effort. So I don't get excited to see that type of person and that personality in a group or even in a chat room. We're not here for numbers. Hallelujah. She says, I've called in before. That's great. Who are you? You get it? So you called in. What does that mean to me? I'm trying to make an impact. You don't have to explain yourself. You can't even believe people's names anymore. These aliases and these, what else is it? I don't know what they're called, Sakina. Help me. Jesus.
Nicknames,
the Snapchats and all the things that we, you know, we just pretend to be somebody else and make up a name. What kind of treacherous behavior is that? I wouldn't do it to you. I'm Ashley Bell, through and through. I throw my whole life out here for you to see. And you got a heart that would hide who you really are and not repent for it? Jesus, help us. Mother Jennifer, thanks for listening, tuning in, for your consistency, and bless all of Georgia in the show.
Hallelujah. Bless you, daughters of Zion. You know, these are the times that we have coming ahead are very serious, and the times that we are living in now are very serious. And more than ever, right now, we need to really remain on our knees. We need to remain humble, and we need to remain in a position where we are sure that we are able to bend the ear of the Father. And don't take that lightly. Don't arrogantly think that He is hearing you. Make sure that you are clean before Him, that you present yourself before Him with clean hands. That's all I have. Shalom.